Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. On today's show, we're going to be talking about the updates to the kiosk, the updates to all the weekly events, and our overall impressions of the latest update to Destiny. Joining me today is Fran Mirabella on my left.
Hey, Guardians.
On my far, far left is Sean Finnegan.
Chomp, chomp.
How's it going today, guys?
Good. Glad to be back from PAX, back in the studio. Excited to talk some Destiny.
Definitely. Well, let's talk about the big update.
And I just say I'm really tired because I played too much Zelda. Just going to put it out there.
You and me both, man.
Put it out there. A little bit of Zelda.
Now everybody knows why it looked the way I do.
Bran, I want to hop right in. We had the big stream. We had a ton of reveals there. Kiosks were the first thing that they covered during the stream. There's a ton about the weekly events that we're going to get into. But the kiosks were really interesting to me because all the armor sets are going to be available to you once again.
So yeah. This must be the best thing ever for you, Fran, who spends most of his time inventory managing.
Yeah. Well, look, let's not even get into the whole vault thing, as I don't know where I'm going to put this stuff that I now have easier access to get to.
In the kiosk.
Yeah,
sort of.
Yeah, but wait, this is a kiosk to purchase stuff.
Sure, but it's like
good point, I guess.
It's always in there if you've discovered
that's
it.
That's a
right?
good point.
So if you need it, you bring it out, you level it up.
You know what's funny? Until you said it didn't hit me.
That's what I had to do to free up inventory space. Is I'm like, all right, the Spectar gear doesn't have a good roll. I don't really need it. Yeah. I'm going to delete it, and I can get it again from the what's it called here? Armor of Ages. Drops.
I mean, that's usually. I mean, since they introduced kiosks, have you guys not been using it that way? Like, I keep. This is why I don't seem to have an inventory.
I do
problem.
For
like,
emblems and
for stuff that I'm actively using in PVE and PVP. I keep that stuff in my inventory or in my vault.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I need to go pick up something that became good because of a patch or something, I go grab it from the kiosk, level it up with some motes, and then boom, it's in my inventory or my.
Well, right now the best example of that is the exotics, right? You can easily go repurchase your exotics weapons and armor. That's fantastic, but. There's so much randomness to the other things, unless it's a thing a vendor has that is like a core item. The thing this does is the super rare stuff that you worked really hard to get, like a full Taken set or a full Spectar set, you can still buy a random chance at it, and we'll get to the ones that you can guaranteed buy with Silver Dust in just a second.
Yeah.
But I like the updates to the kiosk.
Yeah, let's be clear on what's happening in case they didn't hit the stream. So. It's not just like, oh, if you've earned it, you can now throw it away and get it again like you get with, say, an emblem kiosk or whatever. The change here is both Tess Everest and this new – or actually, no, the Silver Dust kiosk, which is already there. You're going to be able to basically, get the Spectar armor, the Desolate armor. Yeah.
If you want the full Taken set, you can now just go and buy it with Silver Dust.
Yes, you can go directly and buy it. Now, the difference with Tess Everest, I believe, is it's the Treasure of Ages boxes, so there is a randomization effect on that. But the point is, if you didn't get this stuff, you can get it. by going to these locations. Now, what I was getting at with me in the vault is I like to have stuff handy, you know, like if I'm hopping into something and want to throw on desolate armor, it is not convenient still. Like, I don't want to have to go all the way back to the tower and plan that, you know what, I feel like putting on desolate armor. Like, I mean, I'm being honest. So
that's fine.
Why it occurs to me. Like, it's nice that I don't have to have stuff taking up space that I'm just like collecting dust on. But if I ever want to wear it, it is still a big inconvenience.
You know? Let's talk about the Silver Dust Vendor. The coolest thing
in
there
are
definitely the mystery bags where you can get an engram, which contain, for example, a Dawning Chroma armor piece or an Iron Banner armor piece. I believe, there was a ton of stuff in there. So that's really exciting that you're going to be able to get this armor that's not necessarily the main thing at vendors and everything right now, but you still have a way to acquire it.
Yeah, I mean, the cool thing – so again, this is a celebration of the end of the first game, you know, the 2.5 years that we've about put in. Going into the release of Destiny 2 really makes it seem certain now, because what this allows you to do is stuff you just didn't earn before, you can now go back and get way more easily by picking it up with Silver Dust. Of course, you're going to need Silver Dust, and that's not super duper easy to get, but you can break down stuff and get it. Mm-hmm. But really cool touches too. Like, there's engrams by factions in there as well.
Yes.
So like,
if you want that faction set,
yeah,
you can. You have a chance of getting that older set.
Chances, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not all specific. Pick up what you want, but when it comes to ornaments on weapons, especially, I think that's probably
those you can. You can just be like, I need this one. Give it to me.
That's one of the coolest. You can just like go in and get the ornament you want, because again, time is it's not that far out probably before Destiny 2, right? And so it's like, dude, just get everything you want and have fun. That's the vibe I'm getting.
That's awesome for the weapon ornaments, because I'm really unlucky, it seems, in Destiny. Like, it took me forever to get a Galahorn. Like, I got it a month before the first Galahorn nerf. I still have never gotten a truth. Like, never.
Wow.
Never had truth.
Never got truth?
Never.
What?
I don't know how.
Well, you never went to Xur'ph, obviously, but other than just picking it up.
But yeah, like, so, and I seem to, continuing the streak of bad luck, I seem to always get the same exotic ornaments, like for ones that I already have.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Well, that's
well, now you can break them down.
Yeah.
You can break them down for Silver Dust and go get the one you want.
Which is what I need to be able to, that's awesome.
So what I'm actually excited about within here is, I like armor and stuff, but shaders are part of this. So that's
going to
be
awesome. And one of the new things in your record book is going to be like 150 shaders or something like that.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So it'll make that part easier.
I actually already went ahead and started buying ships, because I know I'm behind on that
one.
I
too.
Need to catch up.
That's going to be a really tough one for me, because I've been using the same ship forever and I just delete everything else.
Yeah.
Well, I still think the Prison of Elders level 35 ship is the coolest ship, and it represents, again, at that time, the hardest PvE content there was in the game.
Yeah.
So not a lot of people have that ship.
The
still.
Queen's ship?
No,
the
Vespian, it's called
– the glowing one?
It's like the blue, like
– Yeah,
the Vespian Dynasty?
Three – pronged one.
Sidearm, but glowing
no,
white
it's not
blue.
Called that though. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
No, because there's a ghetto version of it that you can buy from the vendor.
I know the one you're talking about. It's awesome. It's really good.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about kiosk? Because Sean has a really great segue there into the events. So there's going to be a bunch of new event tweaks, including Prison of Elders, which you really like. Challenge of the Elders is getting reworked, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And, you're going to be able to get 390 gear from that particular event. Crucible's getting reworked also. We'll talk about that in a second. But, Sean, do you think you'll be hopping back in for a chance at that high-level stuff?
Yeah, dude. I really liked Challenge of the Elders when they first introduced it, and I think that it's – you know, especially if, like, oh my gosh, if it could be – if it is as hard as level 35 Skolas was back in the House of Wolves expansion, like, that would be so cool, because I think to me, that was on par in terms of difficulty with the raids. And I love doing that sort of more small-sided.
Skolas,
like,
was.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, I just meant everything before it was, and it was freaking Skolas. Well, I mean, the fights before were kind of tough.
But not tough in terms of, like, your skill or your mechanics. More just, like, it was kind of a marathon.
Bringing the
like,
heat.
There was no, you know, you had to get through four rounds that were pretty tedious, and then you had to do the hardest challenge ever. But then, that Skolas was super tough. Yeah. I don't know. I love small-sided PvE stuff like that. I don't think strikes are hard enough or the Nightfall's hard enough. So if Challenge of Elders can really stack up to the way it used to be, like on this new light level and stuff. I think that'd be super cool. I'll definitely be in there.
Interesting you say that. I am incredibly excited about the Nightfall Strikes and the new mechanic that they're bringing to it. And the fact that Blue Flames are finally back.
Yes.
The Blue Flames being back. I think that's just such a cool little bragging rights touch. It's like, if you don't want the Blue Flames, don't do the Nightfall, maybe.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I got some feedback on my Twitter from someone, and they were like, oh, God, like, why isn't there an on-off switch for this? And I was like, what? Like, what's the big deal? But fair point. Some people don't want the Blue Flame and feel like they have to do it or don't do it. Small, but it's a worthy note. If you are out there, we hear you, and you know, I think Bungie hears you, so hopefully on the next one.
Wait, what was their argument? Like
they don't want the Blue Flame, but they want to be able to do the Nightfall. Like, they just don't want it aesthetically. They don't want it. So
I guess you should be able to like toggle it on and off.
Mm-hmm. Well, the really exciting thing about Nightfall is not just the Blue Flame. It's
cool.
The
it's Daybreak. I'm happy.
The Daybreak
modifier.
Yeah,
right? It is a modifier for Nightfall.
Supers all day long.
They call it Daybreak Strikes, but it's a modifier.
Really, what we're talking about is Mayhem Strikes.
Yeah.
If you're a big PvP person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
that's
actually.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, so the facts on that one are, they talked about this in the stream, it's the exact same recharge rate as what's in the Crucible. They said they did try other things, you know, and they said, you know what? We felt like they got it right.
Yeah, and I think they did. I mean, have you guys played a lot of Mayhem anything in PvP?
Yeah.
It's insane. Like, it's that's fun. The fun. Most apt name for it ever.
So it's that, and then the only crazy. Other change, other than you're earning constant nades and supers and stuff, is that they the enemies take on all of that, like, epic skill tree stuff. So they're tougher.
If they saw the Titan glitch? And they were like, we just need to make that in the game.
Build that into the game.
I think they probably had this idea for a while. It just meant to bring it forward. But so really interesting is that it's every 4 weeks is it's going to be rolling in. And, you know, I had two thoughts on that. I was like, wait, like, why isn't it just like Crucible Mayhem where, like, I just want to do it now and have fun? And then I was like, well, you know what? Knowing me, I'm going to complain like that, but then I'll do it for 2 weeks all the time, and then I'll get burnt out. I made that pun already this week on Twitter, and everybody
That's
cringed.
It for the show today.
Everybody cringed just like you do. But anyway, I honestly would. So I don't totally mind it's every 4 weeks, but I think some people are going to be a little miffed by it. You might want to come back to the game for a few weeks and do it, but now it's going to be, you know, it's only rolling out on a certain schedule. And then really interesting is July 18th and then into August, they're going to have these 6 weeks where it's just always on.
Every week. On.
Which, you know, I think is a whole – you could speculate that, man, Destiny 2 is coming. They're just pulling out all the stops at the end of August.
2018. So,
yeah, I think you got to let that go at this point. Sean's not looking good.
I will when it releases in 2017.
But those were the updates to Nightfall. Also getting updated are the Siva Crisis Heroic events. You can now get – a Treasure of Ages from that.
Once per week, yep.
Yeah, and your Legendary Marks. Those look great. They're 350.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 350 level. You get, 10 marks 3 times a week, or you get the Treasure Box chance, once per week out of that. So, they're, like, not a huge change, but it's all about this Treasure Box because, actually, sorry, we skipped maybe...
Well, that's where you get the new gear.
Right, I was going to say, it's cool that you can go back and get Desolate and Spectar gear and other stuff you missed, but there's a new set of gear that they haven't shown yet
I was also going to say... Like, when you're buying all that gear, you are spending marks to do that, right?
From the kiosk, you're mostly spending silver dust to pick the specific ones, like the specific things that you want.
The box will drop it randomly.
Right, otherwise. Right. Okay.
Yeah, so, like, from the box, you can get a new set of gear that they haven't revealed yet. Yeah. You can get Desolate gear, Spectre gear, that type of stuff. The whole silver dust kiosk.
Did you guys ever collect that stuff? Like, did you finish your guys' Spectar and Desolate sets?
I did have a full Spectar set because it's my favorite Titan set, but it has a bad roll on it.
Yeah, mine too.
I just didn't want to put in the time to read.
Wait, doesn't the Titan Spectar set, isn't that the one that has, like, the airplane?
No, that is Prison of Elders.
Yeah. But I think there's, like, a...
That's from Varix.
One of the... That's what it is, that helm.
I know what you're talking about,
dude. That's from Prison.
No. The original model was from Prison, but there's also either the Spectar or the Desolate set is that same model.
No, it's super... Spectar is a super slick one for the time.
Yeah.
He almost looks like Iron Man when he puts it on.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I collected that stuff, and I literally never used it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Partially, it's because of the rolls. Yeah, I never had the right
roll. The rolls weren't that good.
So this will be a good opportunity to get that
stuff. The Desolate had the airplane, but he looked like a spooky ghost.
Okay, that's the one I was talking about. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Weekly story-wise, this one, they're being very generous with the marks. You can get up to 100. Yeah, doing my math.
Yeah,
really
20
quick.
Marks, 100 five marks. Times a week.
Yeah, and you get a Treasure of Ages once a week. That's awesome. And the story missions are really fun.
Yeah, this is the new thing they're adding in the weekly rituals, right? This story playlist. Mm-hmm. And so also what was notable is it's going to start off on the theme Earth and Moon. Mm-hmm. So they're actually not just going to fully randomize it at this point. It's going to be themed week by week. So, again, they're trying to come up with reasons for you to come back and see a difference, I guess. So it's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Finally, it's Crucible. Crucible is going to be 6v6 objectives. You've mentioned this a little bit, and you do get a Treasure of Ages for it,
yep.
which is great. They're being very generous.
Yeah. Yeah, and
– fine with me.
And related, so Shaxx now is going to give 2 weekly bounties.
Yep.
And they so that's a change.
Arena Engrams.
And there are 6v6 game types.
So oh, I don't know that.
They're, yeah, they're focused on 6v6 game mode types, and like you said, you can get an Arena Engram. Anytime I'm going to Shaxx, though, I'm trying to get rolls on freaking Palindrome
or
something good. So I don't – the Arena Engram, I'm like, I don't know. What
the reward, is there a better roll from Shaxx than the one that you can just buy at the vendor?
Yeah, for sure.
So the rewards listed on the card, on the one that I have in front of me here, is Hunt for Glory. You got to do 7 matches, 50 primary kills, 30 kill credits, and 20 crests denied. And you get 5,000 experience, 500 rep, and unknown rewards.
Nice.
So.
Yeah,
that must be the random drop. All in all, it is a pretty good chunk of content, man. There's a lot to do.
Yeah,
I like it.
It's a new structure to play the game. You know, I mean, that's sort of the notable part. It's not just we came in and we added treasure boxes at tests. You know, they added a modifier, then they've got a whole new playlist to play in. But they brought the light level up on everything. Obviously, I think actually, the raids are a huge part of it. I think it's really easy to forget that there's a lot of people who don't play the raid. It's hard to organize. And so being able to come back to all that content, including Challenge of Elders, et cetera, really nice to have those playlists and just jump in and play with folks. So I think that's great.
Definitely. Well, the last thing we want to talk about today is our overall impression of this part of the update and what we've known so far with the record book and the new events. Fran, what do you think?
Just out of like everything so far?
Everything so far. We're going to learn more. We have one more week of streams,
yep.
And then it's live.
Exactly. The sandbox, you know, the stuff that they said is to come, by the way, is they're going to show off more on ornaments, mm-hmm. As well as, the iconic raid weapons to come, and then how that this impacts the sandbox.
The raid weapons have me super stoked. Are they bringing back elemental primaries?
Yeah.
I hope so.
It's still a speculation.
I hope so.
We argued on it on last week's show, right?
But, they moved so far away from that in the sandbox.
Yeah.
They're bringing other stuff back like
that
the
buff.
That
would change so much.
Yeah.
But they're turning on supers in Nightfall.
Yeah.
Like unlimited supers. They're having some fun with it. I think there's going to be like, you know what?
Mayhem raids?
Mayhem raids.
Just give me an updated Fatebringer.
You're going to get
they've
that. The question is, will it have elemental damage? Yes. You will get the Fatebringer. We know that. Anyway, so what do I think so far? So, I mean, obviously, I love Destiny. I've been playing it forever. I'm excited about what's coming back, but a big part of me fears the feeling that I need to grind on old content. Like, let's face it.
You need to make a Titan.
Yeah, I do. But let me finish my point. That's going to distract you thinking about that.
Oh, God.
So part of me is like, oh, man, like I'm a little bummed that like there just isn't like new content. However, arguably, the raids I'm excited about because they are changing the raids up a bit, bringing that light level up. So there is new content there. Stuff like Daybreak Modifier.
There's a quest from the speaker.
And there is a quest from the speaker, that's true. But meaning it's not like they added a bunch of new missions and stuff. And we knew that. It's a free update. So I didn't really expect anything different. On the other side of the coin, I actually am excited that there's so much to do. It's a celebration. And especially I'm the collector and wearing, my tower casuals or whatever it is. I'm going to be really interested at how easy it is to get all this stuff. Like by time Destiny 2 hits, and that's what I'm hoping once I'm starting to use Silver Dust and really get a sense of the currency I have. I don't want it to be a grind to get all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to have it all. Everybody should have it all, and you should celebrate. If it is a grind still on that balance of like picking all this stuff up, and that's where they do stuff every few weeks. I'm just a little worried. There's still a grind, and I just want it to be like, boom, just go wild. So, obviously we still have to play it before we know for sure. And they haven't showed, these changes with the raid and stuff. But so it's very excited, but part of me – is like I'm actually enjoying all these other games that are out right now. I kind of don't want to go back to the grind, just to be totally honest.
Yeah. What about you, Sean? You stoked to get back into it?
Yeah, a little bit. I'll play like the updated raids is probably what I'm most excited about.
Yeah, of course.
Like Fran said, I'm not really interested in grinding stuff out for the sake of grinding it out. Even I'm not the biggest completionist. Like I'm very progression oriented and focused. So like if there's not something that's actively bettering my Titan, and there will be since there's some new stuff to earn in terms of the gear and all that
Titan.
Stuff. But
it's that thing that shoulder charges you every thing possible.
Dang, I hate those things.
Every episode, yeah. But overall,
he really
I'm a little...
doesn't. We give him hard time for that one episode where he complained about it.
I mean, he doesn't want about it.
Yeah, okay.
They did
Maybe
nerf
not
it
on
after.
The episodes, yeah.
Just saying.
I mean, it's been, yeah. I don't think a lot of Titans out there, I don't shoulder charge much anymore.
Anyway, you don't have to
think
about
yeah.
But progressing in.
Yeah. Like, if it's a little, like, I'm more progression oriented than I am collectionist or completionist.
Oh.
Collectionist. That's not
a collector
yeah.
or a collectionist.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. So I'm a little hot and cold on that regard, but like I'm excited to go back to the new raids, and if they have some new mechanics and stuff, that's what I am most interested in. So that part really excites me. But like Fran said, I kind of have a big backlog of amazing games right now. I'm like neck deep in Zelda, so I don't know that there's anything that's really going to pull me away from that type of stuff that's coming in this update. But at the same time, this is a nice send-off for people. And if you are that completionist, I think this is the best possible update for you.
What do you got for
And
me?
Before you go, I just, because this happens on the show, I don't want to downplay. I am very excited to like celebrate and get back inside of the raids. Mm-hmm. That moment of returning and getting Fatebringer again and Vexian, I'm totally
it's
excited
awesome.
For. I don't want to downplay that because I just was listening to what I just said. I was like, oh, they're going to think that I'm hating this new update. That's not the case. It's just I'm ready for new content.
So here's the thing for me. Out of all the stuff revealed this week, I wasn't too excited about any of it, but I'm excited about that record book and
oh, really?
All the stuff that it's going to like I really liked achievements in the original Xbox 360. This is a weird correlation, but the fact that we're going to have a record book that's going to encourage us to replay this new change content is going to let me experience it all again and experience the changes. And I kind of like that I'm going to be incentivized to play the game more, do the new raids. Of course, I'm going to want the new weapons and new armor sets, et cetera. But yeah, that record book that I'm already prepping for by going to find new ships, making sure I have these rare shaders, it's giving me other things to collect. Now, you're not that into it, but I have the full Spectar set on my Titan, and I had to make sure to get that Desolate set so that I could get the twitchy emote.
And I think for
emote.
Yeah,
I love that stuff.
Oh, I have that. Oh, you're talking about the Taken emote?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have that. I'm the only thing I've actually like worked towards to get in terms of completing a set.
That's awesome.
Yeah, if you're a completionist, I think this is right up your alley, right?
Oh.
For me, I'm all about what is the best PvE thing?
Yeah.
I want that. I get it, and then I'm like, cool. What is the best PvP good. Thing? I get it, and then I'm cool.
Yeah. You should have went to Zerngod Truth before it was not the best PvP thing. Let's just call
it
that.
They
right now,
ruined it.
Not the best.
Yeah. I mean, I've missed some opportunities to get Truth for sure, but like I think it's because I've been out of town or something like that. And unlike you, I don't drag my console to conventions with me.
Well, and it's funny. Everybody plays in their own way. Like, I don't know do you know how many hours you've sunk into it or no?
About 1,000.
Yeah, so
1,200 somewhere around there.
You've played a ton, but I get the sense you
I'm just very unlucky. Yeah.
Well, you play a ton of PvP, though.
1,000.
And so only...
What are you at? What are you at?
Something.
Yeah, I'm closing in on 1,500 probably.
Nice.
You're ahead of me there. I'm pretty well. I don't know. I play
Is
so
that
much
nice,
trials.
Though? Is it good that we played this?
Yeah,
game?
We're on a show about it.
What's
so
what's old
good
CJ at? I feel like CJ might
CJ's
have had the most hours of all of us.
All of us.
He's actually he's a little ahead of me, but since I've been streaming so much and everything, like I go on binges on the weekend. Like everybody jokes that I'm doing 17-hour streams because I said it one day and it now became a thing.
It's so crazy to think about.
I've almost done it a couple weekends
like,
recently.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny because people still hate on Destiny all the time, but like how many other games out there in this space do people play for that many hours?
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Have World of Warcraft and this game and
which,
certainly others.
Overwatch,
Dark Souls,
maybe,
like people go crazy for.
That's a different case.
Oh yeah, Overwatch, Dark Souls, well, I'm curious. I don't think I'll play Zelda
Dude,
that.
Dude, I don't know, man. Dark Souls, like I'd be hard-pressed to find Chloe, for instance, out there is super into Dark Souls.
But maybe not 1,000.
Yeah, 1,000 hours of Dark Souls, though.
It takes so much to grind to top level, though. But yeah. But the point, I guess, you're making is like, wow,
you're getting so much for your money, and you're putting so much time and investment. It's really quite an achievement to be able to make something that is so cool and interesting that people spend that much time playing it.
Yeah, we've said this a lot on the show, you know, how you perceive value in a game is up to you, you know, and like everybody's like, the score is based on – they have – it could be anything. It's like the frame rate, the downloadable content. Like everybody has their opinion. But point is, if you really value hours out of a game like this, man, it might have been incredible for you on the rating scale, let's call it. But yeah, definitely a testament to it. I never thought ever when I was playing the alpha – even when I knew what it was, never thought it would turn into this. It would turn into a show. It would turn into my addiction. I'm just going to say it. I'm like, actually, CJ admits he's an addict too. But like Trials, I've never been a PvP guy. So, you know, hats off. But also, wow, like you've ruined me. I'm a totally changed person because of Destiny. It's actually true. Like I play so many more hours of games now. A lot of it's Destiny, but it's actually got me playing other games more. It really got me back into frequent gaming.
Cool. That's it for me. Do you guys have any final thoughts that you want to hit on?
You guys mentioned something that I wanted to talk about because I wasn't here for this on another episode. Where do you guys, and this is, you may have addressed this at length already, but I wasn't here for it, so I want to hear it again. Where do you guys fall on the whole Destiny 2 absolutely needs 60 frames a second argument?
Oh, needs it?
Yeah.
It's going to be 60 frames. I mean, whether or not it needs it, it will be. I have no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, but you're avoiding his question, aren't you? What is your opinion?
Do you think you want it
to be 60? Make a toggle, put it 30 if you're crazy.
That would be a wild addition. That seems crazy. That is crazy, by the way. Okay.
It's going to be 60. Like, I don't even know, like, what else my to point say.
Is, meaning, what do you
it's
prefer?
My point is 60. That there's a large subsect of the community out there that feels like because Destiny's 30, it's a lesser game.
Well, I wouldn't agree with that, but the game's going to be 60 for Destiny 2.
Dude, this is a pros and cons conversation, and again, it gets trapped.
We're not going for a cinematic feel with this game. It is a shooter. It's going to be 60, guys. But I don't know what else to say.
But this is the point. It's pros and cons. There are pros and cons for me. This is subjective.
Yeah.
That I think 30 has an appeal in certain games.
I agree.
I actually don't mind, quite honestly. Well, I still prefer this entire game at 60, by the way. Now that I've played it, playing Titanfall, et cetera, I want Destiny at 60. The fluidity in a shooter is so important to me. That being said, I love the cinematic nature of what you can do with 30 and motion blur and the feel of it. It's just a different brain feel. Same reason, right? Film, it's 24 frames a second.
It should be 24 frames.
Yeah.
I'm going to say. So Sean wants 24 frames.
Right.
Like, that's what he's going like, for.
Actually, I want this clear. I do not want Destiny to be 24 frames a second.
But I actually don't.
But you're right. The argument that 30 frames is more cinematic than 60 frames because it's closer to 24, which is what movies are at, is true. That kind of got blown out of proportion like last year when Ubisoft came out and was like – they addressed their issue with frame rate in Assassin's Creed by being like we wanted it to be more cinematic. And gamers kind of saw through that as like PR spin, even though what they're saying is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just – yeah, you need to address both sides.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to do that, you should apologize well, which they'll never do. But it's like sorry also that it doesn't run at 60. The combat would have been better. Mm-hmm. It's right. It's two sides of the story.
Yeah, so again, for the sake of like, so my opinions on the record. Yeah. So, I'm kind of on the fence about this. Like if Destiny 2 was 30 frames a second, but maintained the high level of detail in the environments and stuff like that, I would be fine with that because I actually do think Destiny benefits from having a more cinematic feel. And I don't think that the gameplay suffers that much.
PvP, really?
Yeah, not that much compared to 60.
Titanfall looks gorgeous.
Like,
and it runs at 60.
I just imagine
Destiny.
I do not disagree. And like I'm a big Halo guy who Halo traditionally has been a 30 frames game up until Halo 4 and 5, right? Where it became 60.
You know, it's a technical limitation.
And I would not even say, and I would say, they're definitively better in the gameplay responsiveness, fluidity aspect of multiplayer. But to me, Destiny is – that's just one chunk of Destiny.
Yeah.
That's like one part of it. That's one third of it. And so I do actually think where the argument is true that 60 frames a second would actually help Destiny's gameplay and their PvP and their fluidity. That's all 100% true.
Yeah.
But I think it would come at the cost of potentially reduced textures, potentially reduced immersion in the story and stuff. One of the things that I keep bringing up, and I've said this many times, is I hate The Last of Us on PS4 at 60 FPS. Like, I hate it.
At 60.
I can't watch it. It's so ugly to me.
Make sure you clearly say that you hate it at 60 and not I hate The Last. I know. I just want to make extra sure the audience heard that.
I loved The Last of Us on PS3. Mm-hmm. And then when I played it on PS4 with the 60 function enabled, I was like, I can't watch these cutscenes because it just looks like bad daytime soap operas to me. And I worry that Destiny will suffer from that same thing if the whole thing is at 60, including
Destiny 2 at 60, cutscenes at 30. I mean, there's your solution, right?
It can be jarring, though, when they're using gameplay assets, then the engine.
Yeah, because so a lot of it is in-engine.
There's
yeah.
pros and cons to all this, but it is important if you guys aren't that into it. Those listening, not you guys. Yeah. But, of course, it's math and how much your processor can handle. Of course, some people, you know, can do amazing things at 60, but the point I'm trying to make is, like, the game will look better at 30. It's like, that's a trade-off. You know that will not look as good as it could look. And well, some people prefer that.
Yeah, look they, better in some
in regards. Certain ways. Yeah. Yes, and again, how you define look better yeah, is look objective. Better is,
yeah,
some people think fluidity relative. Is important. Others will be like, no, I want the hair to move and I want the particles to be better and have their own light
detail
sources,
in the rocks, textures, shadows,
texture resolution, and, yeah, yeah. the distance.
That's all better at 30 because you're rendering half the number of frames.
You should always be able to do more. But again, to optimize a game is very difficult. And physics as well play into all this. But anyway.
That's actually a great topic. Topic, Sean, but we do have to wrap it up for today.
Oh, no, yeah. I just wanted to, again, that is a deeper discussion that maybe we should talk about on a less Destiny-focused podcast at some point or do a feature on. I just wanted to hear what you guys thought about Destiny because it's always something that people bring up.
Let's make this simple, though. Who wants Destiny 2 to run across everything in there, including the cutscenes? You got to choose. It's only going to run at one or the other.
Oh.
At 60 frames a second. All right.
All right.
Sean's on the side. That's yeah. fine.
No. I was going to say if you're forcing me to choose, I would absolutely rather have it be all at 30 or all at 60. But if it had to be
okay,
one so or the other.
Who wants it at 30 frames a second? There you go. Wow. Yeah.
I would not be able to ingest those cutscenes or listen to the characters or be immersed in that story if it was 60.
Wow. You prioritize that over
it's so video game.
The thing about 60 for me is once you're playing at 60 and you stop seeing it.
You
just
don't
kind
stop.
Of adjust
that's the thing is I'm a film guy. Yeah. I can't stop. I can spot the difference
Triggers.
Between yeah. I can spot the difference between 24 frames and 30 frames
yeah.
from across the street with one eye closed. Like
yeah, yeah.
60 oh, totally. Frames to yeah. me is such a video gamey thing, which is fine because it is a video game. But when you're telling a story with characters and stuff and you're doing cutscenes, that stuff needs to be at 30 or better yet, 24. Although I don't know that there's been a video game to do cutscenes at 24.
No, unintentionally,
that'd be really interesting.
But not yeah.
Oh, yeah, just because it runs poorly.
I totally get that, Sean. I'm glad you're here to represent the 30 FPS voice. Fran wants to say something, too.
Well, we should mention for those listening, sorry, Destin and I held up our hands for
oh, yeah, we were raising 60. Our
hands. I know sometimes if you're not
audio
watching,
podcast.
So, yeah, Sean raised his hand for 30, Destin hands, and I yeah. for 60. So.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining me. We're going to wrap it up now. That means outro point time, Frank.
Yeah, oh, I'm ready as you are, Destin.
So until next time, everybody,
Guardians out.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.